Maybe we could all turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and read some of these verses that we're sharing tonight. Let's start from verse 8 to verse 13. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. Amen.
But beloved,
just one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count as long suffering for us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we thank the Lord for our brother Peter's reminder concerning the Lord's coming. This is the last chapter from our dear brother Peter. And he must have saved the best for the last. And his last point is to remind us that the Lord is coming, and he is coming soon. And so let us really take this word to heart and pray that the Lord will use these verses to remind all of us. I wanted to just kind of review a little bit what we have been sharing. Peter in chapter 1, 2 Peter 1, did remind us, as the brothers have shared in verse 8, he says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness." So Simon Peter and I have something in common. We both care for vision. And I have some expertise in this area concerning the detection of short-sightedness and prevention of blindness. And I have been doing it for more than 30 years. But unfortunately, mine is only in the physical form of our ocular anatomy. Peter, on the other hand, is referring to a sight that is much deeper and much more important. And he has reminded us not to be short-sighted. Short-sighted is exactly what the word says. We only see what is in front of us. We only react to things when it happens to us. And we just live from day to day without really knowing where we are all going. And there is a real danger in living it in this way. Just like the expression says, we just live from paycheck to paycheck. There is no goal. There is no aim. And we just live in our own little bubble. And this is a very dangerous way, and Peter is reminding us this can even lead to blindness. And so We need to realize that what we do with ourselves today will determine what we will all do in the coming 1,000 years. And so this is a very important matter for all of us Christians, and even more so for all those who are unbelievers. They need to know also that they will spend eternity either with the Lord or without the Lord. And so this is a very important reminder from our brother Peter. And may the Lord also help us. Now, Peter, before the Lord called him, he was a fisherman, right? So he knew a lot of things concerning fishing. And probably that's what his father did, and his father's father did. And that's all he saw. And but when the Lord appeared to him in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it says, the Lord said to him, or to them, because there was Simon and his brother Andrew. It says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Yeah. That's it. Apparently, the Lord's message to Peter is not very long. In fact, just two words, right? Follow me. Yeah, that's like the shortest gospel message I have ever heard. Follow me. But when this is spoken by the Lord Jesus, it has power. It has impact. Yeah. And Peter and Andrew, I'm sorry, Simon and Andrew, not Peter yet at that time, they dropped their nets immediately. It says immediately, right? So the Lord's message was short, and their response was also right away. And then they followed the Lord ever since. And Peter has been following the Lord ever since that day. And so this is a wonderful word that reminds us that we should not be short-sighted. Peter was short-sighted until that day, and he saw the Lord Jesus, and it changed his entire life. And this needs to happen to all of us. Yeah. And may the Lord speak to us. In the hymn that we just sang tonight, it says, my heart is always with himself. My eyes are heavenward, right? It's very good. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about our eyes a lot tonight. Are your eyes earthbound, or are your eyes heavenward, right? Are we looking down, or are we looking up? It will determine our destiny. What we will be doing for 1,000 years when the Lord returns. And so, are we short-sighted, or do we see the big picture? Do we only care for the things that are on the earth, or do we have the heavenly vision? Okay. So may the Lord really remind us through this epistle of Peter not to be short-sighted. And he talks about never stumble. Right? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. The reason we stumble is because we have trouble with our eyes. We can't see clearly. Right? So we all have heard the expression, you know, watch where you're going. Watch your steps. Be careful, because you will stumble. And may the Lord give us proper eyesight today, that we will see him and see his purpose more clearly, that we would not miss it, that we would not stumble. We would not be walking around like blind people. And unfortunately, the situation among Christians today is, as we shared this morning, many blind, false teachers and leaders are leading the blind congregation. The blind leading the blind. And as a result, many are stumbled and many fall into a ditch. And after that, they just give up. Yeah. I have seen this with my own eyes, even in my lifetime. So many who really loved the Lord and was absolute for the Lord and wanted to give themselves for the Lord's purpose were stumbled by false leaders, blind leaders. And may this not be our case. It's not necessary that we will just stay blind. May the Lord open our eyes, that we will see His purpose more clearly, and that we could go on and not to give up. Peter does tell us in chapter 2 that he says, many will follow their destructive ways. When I read this, I was a little bit surprised. At first I thought, maybe only a few would follow their destructive ways. But he already predicted back there, many, many, yeah. This is unfortunately the case. Many choose the wrong way. Broad is the way, but many will lead to death. Yeah. So may the Lord really open our eyes to see things more clearly, that we would choose properly, yeah, and not be misled. You know, Paul prays for the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. This is in Ephesians 1, verse 18. That you may know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of His power that is toward us who believe? Paul's eyes was open. He can see clearly, and he is praying for us that we would also have this eyes of our understanding being enlightened, especially in this day of age of confusion and darkness. May the Lord have mercy on His people, that our eyes would be open to see more clearly, and we need to pray daily, Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Yeah, may we see more clearly. If we can see the hope of our calling, we will not stumble. If we will see clearly what are the riches of His inheritance in each one of us, we will not stumble. May the Lord really help us. Yeah. And not only will we not stumble, Peter says in chapter 1, verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So these days, may the Lord really strengthen us and give us all a rich entrance into His kingdom. Peter goes on in chapter 1 to tell us that he was an eyewitness. Okay, again, about our eyes. Verse 16, Peter says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. As we were reminded this morning, all the apostles were eyewitnesses. They were there with the Lord from the beginning, and they are testifying to all of us what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have seen with their own eyes. Right? These days on the news, we have these things called the eyewitness news. Unfortunately, some of them are fake news. But this is real. Peter was an eyewitness of the Lord being transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw it with his own eyes. I am sure he never forgot what he saw. In fact, he heard the word from God directly, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And those words have lasted all the way in his life till this epistle. And he is reminding us what he has seen and what he has heard. So there is one common denominator of all those people who saw the glory of the Lord. John was an eyewitness. Right? John saw the vision and he fell down as dead. And Paul, before as a Saul of Tarsus, the Lord appeared to him and he fell down. And Abraham saw the glory of the Lord. Moses saw the glory of the Lord. And one common denominator is that they were all changed. They were all transformed. They were never the same after that. And we pray that the Lord could also reveal himself to us in a glorious way. That we would all be changed. That we, none of us will remain the same. That we will not go on after this going back to normal, okay? There's no more normal. Yeah, we cannot be the same like before. May the Lord help us. Yeah, may the Lord strengthen all of us to have such a heavenly vision. And this is the like precious faith that Peter talks about. And Hebrews 11 tells us, reminds us again what this is. Faith is the substantiation of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. May the Lord give us all such wonderful, like, precious faith. This faith that Peter has is now in all of us. And we can all be able to have this like precious faith grow in each one of us, that we can all go on and see the Lord's wonderful purpose. So we come to chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Oh Lord. Yeah. So the thief usually comes when no one is watching, right? So they usually come in the middle of the night. Yeah. Sometimes 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when it's really, really dark and everyone is sound asleep. And Peter is reminding us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Yes. Night signifies darkness. Today, we can all testify, we are living at a time here, even here in US and North America, where things are getting darker and darker by the day. The power of darkness is working hard in our government, in our society, in our schools, to turn the lights off. And this is a reminder that the day of the Lord's coming is drawing nigh. Just like in the first coming of the Lord, it caught everyone off guard. Hardly anyone was watching. But he came. Yeah. There were a few who were watching. They were ready. They were prepared. But unfortunately, the majority did not see it. Yeah. And so, this is Peter's warning to all of us that just as the first coming of the Lord, so shall the second coming of the Lord will be. And we need to wake up. Yeah. 2 Peter 1:19 says, so we have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Yes. Yeah, these days we are living at a dark time. But when things get darker, that means the day of the Lord's coming is near. So we need to get ready. The light will shine in a dark place, and the light, the day of the Lord will come. Yeah, and he will come, and the day will dawn, and the morning star will rise, hopefully in all of our hearts. Yeah, may all of us be ready and be prepared for the morning star to come. Yes. And for this, we ask the Lord for confirmation. Yeah. We have the prophetic word confirmed. When we pray with the brothers, we're always asking the Lord, Lord, give us confirmation. Yeah. We don't want to be caught off guard. Please show us and tell us. And this is very good. We all need to do this. And I very much appreciate all the presentation that the brothers have labored regarding the Nephilims, and even the most recent one concerning the red heifer. All these things are a confirmation. You may not think it's so important, but if you have the eyes to see it, you will realize the Lord is confirming one after another many of these things. And he is reminding us, and he is using the world situation to tell us that his coming is drawing nigh. And so, what is our responsibility? 1 Peter 3, verse 12 says, looking for. Our first responsibility is we need to look for it, right? Are you looking for the Lord's coming? Or, I don't really care. Oh, we better be those who are looking for, right? Peter was already looking for it 2,000 years ago, and he was reminding the saints who were living at that time, look for it, looking for it. And now we are 2,000 years later, we were so much closer, and we need to be even more looking for it. And we need to hasten the coming of the day of God. Wow, it is possible for us to hasten the coming of the day of God. How? By getting ready, by getting prepared. The bride has made herself ready. Then the Lord comes, right? We have to be ready. We have to buy the oil in our lamps, in our vessels. We have to be faithful. We have to be wise. We need to get ourselves prepared. There are many things that needs to happen. And so the question that we need to all ask ourselves tonight is, are we looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord? Or are we just looking at something else? You know, looking at our phone. These days, all the young people, and I know this because at my work, all the parents tell me, oh, my kids, all day long, they're just looking at their phone. Yeah, the phone is okay, but it can be very distracting. And it's designed that way to distract you. And it's not only, you know, bad for your myopia, it's really bad for many other things. Yeah, it could cause you to lose your focus, and then all of a sudden you're just paying attention, and next thing you know, you've already wasted an hour, 2 hours Yeah, some parents tell me their kids do it and then the sun comes out and they're still on the computer. Yeah. It's sad, but it is what it is. It captures you. May the Lord deliver us and help us. Yeah. You know, there is a verse in the Bible in Matthew 24:36. It does say that day and the hour no one knows, right? Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So many Christians use this verse to say, see, no one knows. So don't worry about it. Don't try to look for it, prepare, and, you know, just relax. Now, when we take a verse out of context, it's very, very dangerous. Look at the context of that verse, okay? And I'll read you the rest of the context of that verse in Matthew 24. Verse 42 goes on to say, watch therefore. Hey, watch therefore. Huh? Not, oh, don't care about it, don't worry about it. Watch therefore. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. The reason the Lord sharing this is not so that you can just relax and nobody will know and then you'll just appear. The reason he shared this is no one is watching, no one cares. So you, as a believer, if you are faithful, you need to watch out for it. Yeah, because we don't know when the thief will come, and it comes in the middle of the night. So be on the alert. Know this, that if the master's house has known about what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allow his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Yeah, this is spoken by the Lord himself. Right? So let us not take one verse out of context and say, oh, yeah, we don't have to be. No, this is completely the opposite meaning. May the Lord remind us that we need to be those who are looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. You know, Peter was looking. John was looking. James was looking. Paul was looking. So now, 2,000 years later, it's our turn. Right? Yeah. Timo needs to be looking. Right? John needs to be looking. We all need to be looking. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. Yes. According to God's promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Very good. Why does Peter say this? Because today, if we look at the old heaven and the old earth that we are dwelling in today, where is righteousness? It's disappearing. Yeah. That is why the Lord needs to remove the old heaven and the old earth. This needs to be burning in our heart. We should not be investing our future on all these things that eventually will be dissolved and burn up. This is Peter's reminder for all of us. And may we really take it to heart. Yeah. In verse 7 of this same chapter, Peter says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Yes. So this is the next part of my emphasis for tonight is In verse 11, Peter says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? This is very, very important, right? While we are looking for, God is also looking for. What is he looking for? What manner of person we ought to be. Yeah. God, may the Lord really help us to pay attention to what kind of person we are. It's very important. Yeah. That's why the encouragement is we all need to be diligent to add to our faith virtue. Right? Yes, and knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. In what manner of person we ought to be, yes, in our holy conduct and godliness. Yes, may the Lord really speak to us and really help us. I was reminded by the verses that the brothers shared earlier this morning. Peter says, he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. And he bring in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Yes. Why did Noah get saved and his household? Because he was a preacher of righteousness. Yes. And why was Lot saved? It says, this is 2 Peter 2, verse 7. He delivered righteous Lot, yeah, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Today, you know, I used to think, oh wow, I'm not in this kind of a situation. I'm not being tormented until, you know, all these things have happened in these last few years, and I realize, oh my goodness, this is exactly like today. All of us who are seeking righteousness are being tormented. Yeah. If there is no reaction coming out of you when you see all these unrighteous things, there's something wrong. There should be a holy anger and holy reaction rising up from us. This is wrong. We should not be following these things. We need to stand up for the Lord's righteousness. Yeah. And I praise the Lord very much for this verse, verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unrighteous and the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Yes. If you are godly, if you are holy, if you are righteous, the Lord will provide an escape for you. Yes. The Lord will lead us out of temptation. And so the point is, we need to be these kind of people. Right? What manner of person we ought to be. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Lot was righteous. And the Lord will deliver the godly out of temptation. So today, we need to be the Noahs. We need to be the Lots. We need to be those who are righteous and ask the Lord to sanctify us, to make us holy as he is holy, that our conduct would be holy. And that we would have godliness. We would have the expression of the living God. So when people see us, they would realize, oh, this is a godly person. Instead of being mixed up and cave in and be polluted by them, we have to be those who stand up, yeah, and rise up for the Lord's interests and for the Lord's purpose. So, finally, Peter in verse 14, and Moses will share more about this tomorrow. I just wanted to capture this one phrase. It says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Again, looking forward. May the Lord help us all to look forward. Yeah, it's very important these days. We as believers, we should not be looking backward. We should be looking forward. Right? Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Look forward. Yes. Yeah. We need to be like Paul. Paul says in Philippians 3:13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, I really touched the Lord back in the 80s, okay? Back in the 90s. Okay, wonderful, praise the Lord. But today, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm stretching forward to the things which are ahead. We need to be forward-looking Christians. We need to be those looking forward to the Lord's coming. And may the Lord encourage us in this way, that we would all press on toward the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord has such a wonderful, marvelous plan for all of us in this, for this coming millennial kingdom. And He is supplying to us a rich entrance. Yeah, may we not take this for granted. So our prayer is, Lord, give us all a heavenly 2020 vision. Yeah. For this coming year, 2023. Right? I can't believe 2022 is almost coming to an end. We had just talked about year 2020, and now we're already at the end of 2022. We are definitely 1 year closer to the Lord's coming. There's not much time for us to waste. This is an urgent call from our brother Peter to remind us. May the Lord supply to us a rich entrance, and may the Lord encourage us all to go on for His purpose. Amen.